Live across this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, Telstra MobileNet Digital presents Martin Malloy with Mick Malloy and Tony Martin.
And today we speak exclusively to Iron Mike Tyson about his upcoming bout with challenger Pete McNeely, who's already got the tape measure out and is fitting Mike up for that cocoon of horror. We take you on board that love boat of Australian politicians as it steams towards Muara. We've got more details of Carmen Lawrence's attempts to sabotage the Marks Royal Commission. We'll play Radio Gladiators. And joining us live, one of the stars of Something Hot Before Bed, comedian and chef Matt King. It's all coming up on the program that the front page of today's Le Figaro describes as having an appalling record of human rights atrocities, Martin Malloy. Good afternoon, Australia. Welcome to another Martin Malloy with myself, Tony Martin, and this bloke here, a man who today has been deeply hurt by Prince Philip's suggestion that he is a Scotsman, Mick Malloy.
Absolutely. I'm an Irishman.
You right. Are indeed. Now, are you comfortable?
I'm very comfortable. Should I be?
Yep, you've got to get ready.
Okay.
Okay, Gracie, have you got the music ready?
Yep.
Okay, it's time for Mick Malloy's Celebrity Corner.
Thank you again, one and all, and welcome to Mick's Celebrity Corner. Big hand to Gracie on piano, as per usual. You don't mind me sitting on your lap while you play, do you, Gracie? well, enough of our banter, down to business. The countdown is underway till August 19. That's the date Iron Mike Tyson returns to the ring to face challenger Peter McNeely. We've got the former heavyweight champion on the line now from LA. Mike Tyson, can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, I can, Mick. It's great to be here talking to you. I heard quite a lot about... Oh, one moment. Sorry, it's just one of my sparring partners.
Right. We hear that since you began training for this fight, you've disposed of 18 sparring partners.
Mick, that's 19.
Now, how is 4 years...
sorry, Mick.
Another sparring partner?
No, just a mistake with my one-shorter. I said a burrito.
Mike, what about the 4 years in prison? Are you a changed man?
Well, as you can tell, my balls still haven't dropped.
Right.
But I read over 1,000 books in prison. I'm now something of an intellectual. Hang on. Sorry, a problem with my dry cleaning.
Now, is it true your favorite book is the biography of tennis champion Arthur Ashe, yeah, and that you've had part of the book tattooed on your arm?
Yeah, that's correct, yes. And my other favorite book is Where's Wally? And consequently, I've had one of those puzzles tattooed on my ass.
Really? And where is Wally?
You don't want to know. Oh, sorry, mosquito.
Now, Mike, what about Peter McNeely's claim that on August 19 he will wrap you in a cocoon of horror?
He is the only one who will be facing horror on August 19. And when I say horror, I mean horror. H-O-W-W-O-R, horror.
Now, you're getting a lot of support from celebrities. I hear Michael Jackson's a fan.
Yes, yes, he is. In fact, he's right here beside me. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Mike. How's it going?
Great. And who's this with you?
This is my friend, B. Arthur.
Hi, guys.
Hi, B. Hi, B.
Well, Mike, thanks for your time today.
Yeah, I gotta go. I gotta help Don King do his hair.
Really?
Yeah, Don. Don, you got the butter knife? Yeah, just stick it in the toaster.
Malloy.
Mick, you've had your head down in the papers. Mm. Have you been checking out? What's Carmen Lawrence up to over there with the Marks Royal Commission? Give us the lowdown. Paint the picture for us.
Well, it's a prickly little affair, and we've dutifully ignored it because it's ugly. It's not part of us. But there's one interesting feature to this case that you can't ignore, and it's the only thing I'm interested in, Tone, and that is the lengths she's going to keep the lid on this sucker. It's quite amazing when you think about it. You know, we've gone through all hoops. We've gone through the Supreme Court. We're in the High Court. She doesn't want to go to that Royal Commission. They're the signs I'm getting. They're sending her invite. She's not RSVPing. Oh. They say, nah, you got to come. She's saying, yeah, I'll see you in court. Just not that one. I'll be in one on the other side of the country at a nice safe distance, thank you very much. You know, you get the feeling that even if the High Court says she's got to go, she'll think of something. You know what I mean? They'll be in there ready to go, wigs on, gavel banging, and she'll just phone in sick. They'll say, have you got a doctor's certificate? And she'll say, yeah. And they'll say, who from? She'll say, Dr. Carmen Lawrence. Oh, and I've also got a note from the Minister for Health. Minister for Health. That includes other people, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's not just your own.
No, no.
All right.
No.
That'd be easy, wouldn't it? How's that portfolio going, Carmen? Oh, good. I mean, the public hospital system's buggered. Medicare's broke. But thanks to all the public money I'm shoveling into my legal challenge, I've never felt better in my life, thank you very much. Seriously, she'd give anything a go at the moment. Any day now, I reckon there's a pretty good chance we'll hear the phrase, secret women's business. Sorry, can't make it to court today. Had a look at the courthouse from above, and well, let's just say it's all looking a bit blue. Call me when the curse is lifted. If they ever do get her to court, I reckon there's a fair chance she'll be turning up in the full wheelchair and oxygen mask, Scacy style. At least with Scace, you had to invest in Quintex to fund the legal costs. That's her only problem, though, isn't it? With that plan. Yeah. Is finding the actual wheelchair.
No, right.
Maybe she could borrow the one that's currently on loan to the state of Victoria. Sorry, buddy. You'll have to get up. Yeah, yeah, I need that. What for? Can't tell you. Secret women's business.
Edwyn Collins, a girl like you here on Martin Malloy. And Mick, just sticking with politics for the time being, Canberra is apparently empty. There's just no politicians there. And you know where they all are?
Mm.
They've all got the sailor's hats on and the flared sailor's pants, and they're all jumping aboard that flotilla-struck bandwagon that's heading off to Mururoa.
It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, you know, basically all your politician would really know about yachting is how to smash a champagne bottle across the hull. But they're going, they're on the way, but it's business as usual, except they're on the boat.
Right.
And you can still tune in and catch them late night on the ABC. In fact, I've got last night's question time right here. Have a listen.
See anything?
Nah.
Oh, he's done a backflip, Mr. Speaker. I submit that firstly he makes the statement, land ahoy, and then when it suits him, he changes his mind. Mr. Speaker, I ask if this was not a deliberate attempt to mislead the members of this crew, or was it just another of his so-called mirages?
Yeah.
Mr. Speaker, once again, the opposition are trying to avoid the real issue here, which is the embarrassment and shame the honourable crew member brought upon this ship during last night's rollicking session of sea shanties. In particular, I am referring to the questionable singing of What Shall We Do With a Drunken Sailor? Mr. Speaker, the correct manner of singing this bawdy, if not somewhat ribald ballad, is not What Shall We Do With a Drunken Sailor early in the morning, but is in fact What Shall We Do With a Drunken Sailor early in the morning.
All those in favour say erlie.
Erlie.
The erlies have it.
And, Mr. Speaker, I'd also like to ask the honourable crew member to confirm that he did, in the same so-called sing-along, use the phrase ooh, a, and up she rises, not once, but twice.
Order, order. Mr. Speaker, my question without notice is to the Minister responsible for Maritime Affairs. Have the investigations into the mysterious disappearance of the SS Minnow concluded? And if so, what are the findings?
Mr. Speaker, the inquiry's conclusions are outlined in this document tabled earlier today, in which we state, and I quote, the weather started getting rough, the tiny ship was tossed. If not for the courage of the fearless crew, the Minnow would be lost. I repeat, Mr. Speaker, the Minnow would be lost.
Mr. Speaker, it was meant to be a three-hour tour.
Order, order!
I move that from this moment forward, the Speaker must only talk in the manner of a salty old sea dog.
Yeah, yeah.
All those in favour?
Aye.
The eyes have it.
Ahoy, Deputy Prime Minister to starboard.
Arr, the great white monster took this leg clean off in a feeding frenzy, the likes of which I'd never seen before. Harpoons ready? Fire!
Got him, Mr. Speaker, right in the blowhole.
That ain't no blowhole, laddie. Look out! Where she blows!
Queen, best friend here on Martin Malloy. And in the next hour, Matt King's going to be popping in.
Hurrah!
I don't think he's...
I've been lobbying for that, by the way.
Have you?
Yeah, big fan.
You were saying, no, we don't want Kevin Costner. Let's get Matty on board.
Exactly.
Matty's probably not a household name, but he is part of the Something Hot Before Bed crew, which is a new comedy show on the ABC. It's been going a couple of weeks.
Definitely worth a look.
Is it on tonight?
Indeed it is. The third big instalment.
Tonight at about 11 o'clock on the ABC. And the talk's a bit blue, so don't let the kiddies watch. But, no, there's some good Aussie comedy to be seen. Now, today, Mick and myself went and checked out the big Judge Dredd film with Sylvester Stallone. And so what's Sylvester Stallone's... I think his first line in the film... And despite the THX sound, I couldn't really decipher it. It's something like, blah, blah,
blah. Yeah, that was it.
I think which translates as, I am the law.
Indeed.
I mean, not that I was expecting, you know, yes, Lady Halifax, I'd love a cucumber sandwich. But, you know, I was thinking, you know, it took me a couple of goes to work out what he was saying. But I'll tell you a bad occupation in the movies, gun shop owner. Because, you know, whenever someone goes into a gun shop in the movies, the gun shop owner always seems to cop it. And the bad guy, whether it's the Terminator or, in this case, Armand Desante, never seems to have any cash on him at the gun shop. Have you noticed?
He's always
left his wallet in his other pants. But he toys with the gun shop owner, who's usually a disposable kind of snivelling character. You know, he lets him do his little sales pitch, take him through the full range of guns. And despite the fact the customer usually has a big cut on his head, no shoes and maybe a pair of busted handcuffs dangling from one wrist, the owner never suspects that he's not going to be able to fork over the hundreds of dollars required. And it's not till the last minute when the bad guy drops his one-liner, which is something like, here's my payment, you know, that the gun shop owner twigs. Well, I'd like to see a movie where, you know, say Dennis Hopper goes into a gun shop, tries out a shotty, and the owner says, that'll be $2,000. And Dennis goes, oh, sorry, I'm a bit short. Could you put it aside for me? And then just leaves empty-handed, even opening the door for, you know, an old lady on his way out.
That'd be a nice touch.
I hope the film industry's writing this down.
Exactly. I'd be copywriting that right now.
It's a great idea and it might just work. But, people, Radio Gladiators is on the way and it's really your chance to get a bit patriotic today. Because we're going to be enlisting your help to have a go at those sneaky editors of La Figaro. Mick, what do you make of the French going us on the front of Le Figaro?
Tone, I think they're proving that the pen is mightier than the 50-megaton bomb.
I think they are. And what have they said? They said we've got an appalling record of human rights atrocities here in Australia. And I'm not denying...
No argument.
I'm not denying that maybe we have. I mean, how long have we been showing Gladiators? I mean, I'm not denying that that's not the case. Well, that is the case, but... you know,
I'm not copping it from them, basically, is the point, isn't it?
What I'm thinking is maybe, you know, maybe we can give as good as we get.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe what we need to do is plant a bit of a headline, a bit of an inflammatory article, you know, on the front of The Australian.
Because that's what they did, didn't they? In the front of Le Figaro, they've constructed this huge story with headlines, lambasting us. It's a tit for tat, isn't it?
What's Le Figaro? Is that one of the more respected? Is that like the, you know, is that a Murdoch paper over there?
Oh, yeah, it would be page 3.
And what's Le Figaro? That's The Figaro.
Yeah, it doesn't sound the same here, would it? Can't get the Figaro, baby.
It's an intellectual program, this one. And so what we want to do is we want to kind of get a headline in the Australian that'll get the French's goat.
Basically, yeah. I've got one.
Hang on. You have it. No, then that's where you say sounds like a cue for.
Oh, shall I go now?
Yeah, go now.
We'll cut that bit out, won't we?
Yeah,
sounds like a cue for.
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Sorry about that, Mick. It's just that, you know, Pete's waving at me from the booth.
I know.
And he's only got enough air in there for about a minute and a half. And he's going a bit red in the face. He's going, you know, my bit.
Mm.
So his gladiator's now underway.
It is. Thank God, because another couple of minutes and Pete would have looked like that guy from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory as he went up the roof.
Won't this program be great when we've taken the pee plates off?
Absolutely. We'll unveil. We'll have a public opening. We'll go public.
We will. Now, what we want to do is we want headlines that we can phone up the Australian and tell them to whack on the front of tomorrow's edition that'll really get the Frenchers goat. And have you got any there, Mickey?
I've got one here to submit to the Australian. It just goes like this. Little French pigs can go wee, wee, wee all the way home.
Oh, a bit subtle, Mickey.
It's a bit very subtle. Clever.
What about just something like French duds in bed? Just something like that, or those three colours films suck big time. That's the kind of thing we want. Something.
You're hitting them where it hurts there, Tone.
That's what we want to do. And we don't want any blue talk. I think we should keep it clean for once on the segment.
Mm-hmm.
And the prizes, well, we know about the three-pack of CDs. And, Mick, I have to say, the three-pack of CDs has got me worried because I hope people out there listening don't think we're trying to buy their loyalty. Because you know how some stations will give away, you know, a house or $1 million for a competition?
Sure.
I hope people don't think that we're just offering such a great prize, like the three-pack of CDs. You know, that we're just trying to buy them.
It doesn't sound desperate. That's what you're trying to ascertain. We're just trying to, you know, get it, you know, at any cost.
Because, you know, the three-pack of CDs is obviously, it's likely to dazzle some people.
It's extraordinary.
It is.
I mean, you know.
I hope we haven't gone too far. But that's not the only prize. Of course, you do go into the draw, as you know, for a weekend for two at Le Meridian at the Rialto.
Icing on the cake!
And it's a hotel with the soul of Europe. In the heart of Melbourne, but without the French bits that we don't like. I'd just like to point that out.
Absolutely.
If you'd like to play Radio Gladiators, I think you know the number by now. It's 1-800-657-657. That's Sheryl Crow. Can't cry anymore here on Martin Molloy, where it's Radio Gladiators. And today what we're doing is we're having a go at the French once again on the program by thinking of a headline that we can slip into the front page, I reckon, of the Australian tomorrow. That'll really get under the French's skin in retaliation for their outrageous comments in Le Figaro yesterday. Something like, I don't know, French no good at cycling, says new poll. Something like that.
Yeah, you're in the hunt with that.
Yeah. Who have you got for us, Mick?
We've got Ian on the line. G'day, Ian.
How are you, mate?
Not too bad. Okay, give us the headline.
Right, Australian scientists put dried cane toad powder in French bread. And they end up blowing themselves up. Have a good old cane toad.
Sounds
mate.
Like an article to me.
Yeah, it's a bit of a long run, but it'll work.
It's a feature, and maybe they could, add an extra supplement onto the front of the
Absolutely.
The Australian. Not a bad effort, Ian, but have we got John there? John?
Yeah, this is John.
John, what's your headline that you reckon's really going to get the French's goat?
I reckon French eat nuclear snails and die.
French eat nuclear snails and die. What, a long
nice
slow death?
Yeah, I think that's just a good phrase anyway. Eat nuclear snails and die.
I reckon we should put that in all papers, not even French ones.
It's actually a statement.
It's a statement. Oh, okay.
All right, so we're suggesting that that's actually happened at some point. Okay, John, not bad. Have we got Stuart there? Stu?
Yeah.
What's your headline, mate?
Jacques Chirac caught in Citroën with Hugh Grant.
Oh, I see, yes. And I believe President Chirac's already been offered a commercial by Venezuelan TV since that happened.
You're not in a Citroën now yourself, are you, Stewie?
Sorry?
You're in a Citroën yourself right now?
No, I hate Citroëns.
All right. Well, keep it clean, son.
Okay, have we got time for one more, Mickey?
No, I think we've got Brian on the line. Hello, Brian.
Yeah, mate, I reckon they should have a headline something like French kiss this and put in a hole to throw them away with this article following it.
So just French kiss this and a big exclamation mark.
Yeah, something like that.
A real sort of Rupert Murdoch kind of bit of work.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that's got simplicity on its side, so we'll give you the three-pack of CDs, Brian.
You beauty.
Oh, you can barely contain your excitement.
Well,
can you?
Should I send this to the Australian, or are you going to send it?
Oh, no, no. We'll get on the blower to the editor, and I'm sure he'll oblige with that.
It probably won't get on the front of the Australian anyway, because I'm sure tomorrow's headline is going to be Man Wins 3-Pack of CDs on Radio Segment.
Well, what about? I've just been working on another one. What do you reckon about this one? Marcel Marceau speaks non-stop during gig. He just wouldn't shut up, said disgusted patron.
Oh, if only you'd bothered to entertain. I'm sorry, the competition is closed.
I should have run down to the phone box on the corner. No, Brian, you've got the 3-pack of CDs, and of course you've gone into the draw for that weekend at Le Meridian, which ain't as French as it sounds.
Thanks, guys. That's great.
Oh, good on you, Brian. Thanks for playing Radio Gladiators. We'll play it again tomorrow, but stick around after the news. We'll be talking with comedian and chef... It's the second hour, and it's the time where Mick gets out the front and rolls out the carpet, and the guest just swans in and can't believe his luck.
He's been harder to snaffle than Kevin Costner.
We've had
to negotiate with his people.
We've had to bust him. And, you know, the Jack's crackers. And, well, we've got him on board. This bloke, he's a familiar face if you're a viewer of the ABC's Something Hot Before Bed. It's Matt King. Welcome on board, Matt. You have to wait for the applause to die.
That was very nice. I enjoyed that, yeah. Didn't expect that at all.
Now, Matt, tell us about the accent. Is it real? Are you actually English?
Yeah, it is real. Yeah, I've been here a little while, so it's got a bit of an Aussie twang to it now. But it's genuine, 100% kosher, my son.
Right, now take us through the Matt King story. What are you doing here, and what are you doing in comedy?
What am I doing here? Well, I came out here about 2 years ago, and was a chef, as you've kindly mentioned a fair few times.
We were hoping to get, you know, a bit of a three-courser out of you before the end of the show.
Well, I might knock you up something, yeah. I was here a couple of months and saw some comedy and thought, chopping carrots, it's good, but I don't know, perhaps I'm in the wrong game.
And you just jumped up on stage, knocked him dead from the first gig, or was it, you know, slow process?
I had a good first gig, and I can't work out why, because now I look back at some of the jokes I was doing, and just shocking.
Would it be improper to ask what one of them was, or...?
I'll tell you what my first ever joke on stage was,
Hang on, before you do, have we got some kind of wacky sting we can whack in, Gracie?
How about an intro as I'm coming on stage?
Too. That's only for second time guests, I'm afraid. Right.
Grab some booing, Gracie.
He's gone over to the shelf and he's come back with an armful, so we know we're in for a real radio treat here.
I'm going to die.
Okay, let's hear the gag, Matty.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I've just read a book called How to Get 6 People in an Armchair. And let me tell you, it had me on the edge of my seat.
Thank you.
Oh, it's absolutely killed.
Oh, it's gone down like a house.
It went very similar to that the first time.
What about you, Tone? What was your first ever joke live on stage?
Oh, do I get the sound effects, Gracie? Yeah, sure. He's taking them back. I think I got up on stage and actually opened with, this is pretty embarrassing. I said, I've just got back from the new musical about Ita Buttrose. It's called I'm Just a Gal Who Can't Say Isthmus.
Whereas I, on the other hand...
And you know what? That wasn't a recording. That was the staff.
And you can tell your first joke, because they always begin with the words, I've just.
Because you're such an eventful, you know, it's such an eventful life. That's preparing right. For your first
just
gig.
Just
there. Sorry, Mick, were you going to give us yours?
Yeah, I thought I'd jump into the fray. My first ever stand-up joke was wandering out aimlessly onto stage with a brick in either hand, and I said, I'm not saying I'm nervous or anything, but I just found these in my pants.
Oh, okay.
Deserving.
That's how it goes, is it?
We'll cut that up and use it as a promo tomorrow, won't we, Gracie?
Well, we've really just opened the second hour with sparkling comedy aplenty. But, Matty, you went on from there, and you're on Something Hot Before Bed. For people listening who don't know what the show's all about, just take us through it.
Well, Something Hot Before Bed is basically a stand-up comedy show as opposed to every other type of comedy that's usually on the box. It's just filmed live at the pub and then cut up and that's it, really. It's just warts and all stand-up comedy.
Right, okay. Yeah, and it's on tonight.
It's on tonight, 11 o'clock on the ABC.
Yeah, and there's always a bit of blue language. We must point that
there
out.
There is, yeah, and your drug reference and the odd religious reference.
Yeah. And I suppose you people think that's smart, do you?
I hope you're happy with yourself, Matt.
Well, okay. we had a couple of complaints after the first show. Apparently we were bagging God.
We weren't at all, we were
talking amusing stuff about the Bible, but
as soon as
I hear the word Bible,
it just pans out, isn't it?
That's it.
Now, just before we go to the song, I believe, Matt, you've got a bit of a showbiz connection. Tell us about your car.
I have. My car is it's a 1978 Golf, which is knackered, and the previous owner was Fury from the Gladiators.
Oh, really?
Yep. It was her car, and you can tell there's like sort of big pillows and hitting things still in the boot.
And does John Alexander have to go, you know, Matt, start your car before you can drive it out of the street?
That's right, yeah.
Oh, well, that's the nearest I can think of an ending for that bit, so I hope I've helped you out there. But it's just a cornucopia of comedy today. Let's go to a song, and we'll be back for more of a chat with Matt King.
Martin.
That's the Talking Heads, and she was on Martin Malloy. And Matt King's with us today, comedian, gourmand, and damn it, there's no getting around it, he's from England. And Matt, do you want to give us any observations about, you know, how things are different in England to how they are here?
Well, yeah, I was actually talking to a mate from London the other day, and I said, how do you find living in Australia? And he said, it's good, but there's one thing I don't like. And I said, what's that? And he said, it's all the animals over in this country that can kill you and eat you.
Right, yeah.
Because there are a lot of animals that can kill you and eat you over in this country.
It's a common complaint.
Mm. Yeah, you've got proper animals in this country.
Oh, yeah.
Proper.
The genuine article. We've had them installed, specially.
Well, you've got snakes and spiders and blue-ringed octopuses and all that. And they're good, because, like, in England, we've got crap animals.
Have you?
Basically, yeah. In England, we've just got nothing. We've got, like, a squirrel. I've never seen him. And we've got badgers, right? And I don't know what they are.
Right.
And like our most, like say in Australia, they're proper dangerous animals. Like if you get bitten by a taipan, right, you've got a minute to get to hospital and get it all sorted out. A minute, like, that's a proper snake.
Oh yeah.
Right? And in England, our most dangerous snake, this is a fact, is the adder. Right, I don't know, have you heard about the adder as well?
Take us through the adder.
Well, the adder, this is a fact, you may not believe this, but if you get bitten by an adder, you've got a week. It's true, you've got a week to get to the hospital. Right. So you could be like leaving your flat and your flatmate says, where are you off to? Oh, I'm just off down the hospital. Why is that? Well, I got bitten by an adder last Thursday. I thought I'd better get it checked out. But it's only Tuesday.
And you could just pick up some stuff on the way.
Yeah.
Now, is there anything else about England that's different that you've noticed?
Well, because I've just done my driving test in Australia.
How'd you go?
I passed second time. Failed the first time, and the guy said, you can do some material about the bloke that failed you. So now I've got 10 minutes on it. Or I just call him names. But, I've just done the driving test, and you get this little book. I don't know if it's the same in every state, but... I had this little book of road regulations, and there's lots of handy information in that book. There's one bit on being sensible with alcohol, and there's this one bit which you boys may want to jot down. It's pretty handy bit of information. Get a pen. It says, if you're throwing a party, decide whether or not alcohol is necessary. For me, that's a fairly simple decision. I don't know about it for you.
It's not even multiple choice, is it?
No, it's not. No thinking music. Because imagine throwing a party without alcohol. You know, you'd be there dancing around at your party and one of your mates would come up, hey, Matt, where's all the drink? Well, I decided it wasn't necessary. Still, cucumber sandwiches in the fridge. Enjoy. Come on.
Well, all the best with the driving, Matt.
Thanks, mate.
Yeah. And can we just... this is the part of the program where we say, have you got something to plug?
I have actually got something to plug. I'm going to be in Adelaide on the 25th. 5th and 26th of this month,
right,
for two SIDS concerts at Her Majesty's Theatre for Sudden Infant Death Syndrome.
All right.
Red Nose Week in Adelaide. Friday and Saturday, 25th and 26th, there's whole load of other comedians on there as well. And please come along if you're in Adelaide. Mm.
And if you're in Melbourne, you can see Matt King along with Bob Franklin, Trevor Marmalade, Darren Casey, Glenn Robbins, and special guests, which I'm sure will include, well... Ooh.
Could be Mickey Malloy.
That's right.
Shall we do something together?
Let's.
Can you tap? You got a cane?
I've just started tap lesson.
We're just a couple of swirls.
Oh, look.
I'm thinking.
It's a wonderful showbiz moment here on the program. That's on the 11th of August at the Comedy Club in Melbourne. And, of course, right around the country, you can see Matt in action on Something Hot Before Bed.
I've got a headline for the Fringe thing.
Have you? Yeah.
How about cold-hearted croissant cookers... Kaboom, cute crustaceans.
That's fantastic. Good on you, Matty.
That's what they're shouting down at the Australians.
We've been talking with Matt King on Martin Malloy. And it's the new financial year, Mick, and a lot of people will be sort of having to go in to see the boss for a bit of a pay rise, and it's never an easy process, is it?
No, not unless you know what you're doing, of course.
What are you talking about?
Oh, come on, Tony. Don't play... coy with me.
What do you suggest?
We went and got a pay rise. If memory serves me correctly, were pretty fierce.
Hang on, this sounds like a cue for one of your flashbacks, Mick. I haven't been sold on your flashbacks on the program because they're always a bit wrong. There's always a few details that just aren't quite, you know, they're out of kilter.
No, Tony, I can remember this crystal clear.
I can remember now.
Okay, Tony, we'll do it exactly as we planned it, all right? You dazzle him with a bit of the old slippery talk, and I'll be kind of moody and distant.
We'll charm him like a snake.
We'll have him squealing like a piggy, man.
Yeah, we'll be like a couple of schoolboys pulling the wings off a freshly snaffled fly.
I'll be like Helena Bonham Carter in Howard's End, just strolling around with a parasol, wondering when that delightful Anthony Hopkins is going to turn up.
Yeah, I'll be like Christopher Atkins in the Blue Lagoon, just swimming about in a loincloth, trying to deal with those new weird feelings I'm having towards Brooke Shields.
I'm going to be one of those Franciscan monks with the big hoods just creeping around, doing a few Gregorian chants, stirring a couple of huge pots.
Excellent. I'm going to do the chicken tonight dance.
I'm going to call him old Mr. Happy Pants.
Oh, I'm going to be a big bat and hang from the ceiling.
I'm going to set fire to his tie.
I'm going to take his shoes off and paint his toenails orange.
I'm going to tell him I'm pregnant and I don't know who the father is.
Mr. Hardass will see you now.
Thanks.
And I wanted to be Bond.
Boys, come in and make yourselves comfortable. Now, before we begin, why is Mick hanging from the roof?
He's a bat.
And you?
I'm one of the three wise men, and this is my camel, Frank.
I see.
Now, we've come about the small matter of a pay rise.
Very good. Well, before we proceed, I should inform you that from this moment forward, I will be firm but fair. Or I could be like one of the Daleks from Doctor Who.
Yeah, that's what I'll be. Exterminate! Exterminate!
Look, everyone, I'm Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, the car that flies.
Well, I'm the guy from the circus who gets shot out of a cannon.
Whoa! I'm Trent Flintstone!
I'm going to play this harp so we can call an end to this flashback.
Yeah, I think that's how it happened, yeah.
You're with me now.
Every detail, 100% accurate, yeah. This is Martin Malloy.
Well, there it is, another Martin Malloy, ready to be taken out the back and put in a sack. And, well, thanks to all our guests today, Iron Mike Tyson and Iron Matt King. And all our gladiators. Very creative work today. Of course, we were asking for a headline that we can plant on the front of the Australian tomorrow that'll really be a retaliation for the French's work in Le Figaro. What was the winner, Mick? Do you remember?
French Kiss This.
All right.
And plain, succinct, to the point, mon frere.
And it's just left to the imagination as to what this might be.
Fill in the blanks.
I like it. Very subtle bit of work from our winner today. And join us tomorrow when we'll be welcoming Australian internet surfing champion Craig Harneth. But until then, remember, if you can't say something intelligent, move to WA and join the Liberal Party.
Martin Malloy is a misguided production in association with half-baked ideas and ill-conceived concepts, Proprietary Limited. Brought to you by Telstra Mobile Net Digital. Pete Smith speaking.